there, Tiff. Are you ready to join my alliance?
Absolutely, I am.
Excellent. Excellent. Oh, man. We are talking about the fourth episode of season one. It is The Alliance, of course. Mm-hmm. I'm curious to hear sort of your thoughts overall on this episode. I quite liked this one because of all of the play between Dwight and Jim, and also the sort of, it's like shenanigans despite everything that's going on. Like, this could very easily be a very dark episode, but there's a lot of fun involved in it, despite the fact that it's all based in this ongoing fear that hangs over everyone's head, which is downsizing.
Exactly. Yeah. But we have a lot of great play between Dwight and Jim, which are kind of like the nemeses of the office, really. You know, the two big personalities that are constantly back and forth with their one-upmanship, with their pranks, with how they interact with each other. Mm-hmm. So this episode is a really big highlight for how they interact with each other, and then kind of how Pam gets involved and shows her pranky side also. So really what's going on, we have two alliances happening at the same time during this episode. We have the Jim and Dwight alliance, which, as we know, if Dwight asks you to be part of alliance, what is your response?
Absolutely, I will. Or absolutely, I do. Yes.
And so that is, no matter what, if Dwight suggests something secret, it comes up that you absolutely have to agree to it. That's kind of the alliance between Jim and Pam. And their alliance is much more of a genuine, fun alliance. They actually are aligned against Dwight to pull this prank on him about his own alliance with Jim.
Which is wonderful.
Exactly. It's so good. The play is so good. And it kind of stems from Dwight's insecurities about the downsizing that's going to be happening. And he feels that if he can find a way to insulate himself from it in some way and form this alliance, despite all of his best instincts, I guess, mm-hmm. to be, you know, against Jim, he's like, at least if we work together, because to Dwight, the job is the most important thing. And having that taken away from him just scares him to his core, and he will do anything to keep this job.
Yeah. And that's what, I mean, you really hit the nail on the head there. It's like, Dwight recognizes that Jim is also a very good employee. And so despite the fact that they clash on everything, it's like, I still want to work with the best in order to make this a reality. Unfortunately, he's a little unwise in thinking that Jim is going to go along with his plan, or that Jim cares enough to actually, you know, take an alliance seriously and try to make things happen. But it's sort of, there's like a little bit of, there's a twinge of sadness for me in that Dwight thinks that it's necessary for him to form an alliance. It's hard for me that he doesn't sort of see his own value. And I think that's something that we see throughout. You know, he wants to climb the ranks, and he wants to be respected by Michael, and he wants to gain these titles because he wants that validation. And when we see, like, of all the people who work at Dunder Mifflin, he is one of the ones that I think would not have to worry about losing their job or being mm-hmm. downsized. Well, maybe in a normal office, in Michael's office, who knows? But you know what I mean? His numbers and things like that are consistently good. And we see that throughout the whole series, that he is a good salesman. So mm-hmm. it's interesting that he feels the need to take up this alliance, and especially with his, you know, worst enemy.
And it's funny that Dwight is so easily manipulated, and yet he can also be super untrusting of other people. So it's like these two sides of him where he can be fooled into something if you play to his ego in the right way. But yet the minor things he will not trust anybody with. So it's really, that's what I think makes Dwight a really funny character and fun to watch, because at each decision point that his character comes to, you're not 100% sure which way he's going to go. You know, is he going to trust Jim and go on this alliance? And is Jim going to be able to like fool him to thinking that there's secret mayhem going down in the warehouse? Or is he going to be like, no, you can't fool me. Like, I know better. I have, you know, that side of him where he's untrusting and very self-reliant and sees evil plots behind every corner. So it's like, how can he not see one, but then potentially sees one that isn't there at all? And I think that that's what makes him so great, because he's so unpredictable in that way. And it makes him believable. It makes him really funny. It really makes me fall in love with the Dwight character, who
yes.
is one of my favorite characters. He really is. And I love him. I love the way he gets manipulated. I love the way he won't allow people to manipulate him, and the choices he makes between those two, and when he makes those choices it's just great.
One thing that I wanted to touch on here is, again, going back to this idea that we have downsizing hanging over everybody's head. Michael, of course, trying to be the good boss always, the boss, not necessarily the good boss, but like the liked boss, the well-liked boss, decides that they need a morale booster, which apparently that's having a birthday party for somebody. And we don't have any upcoming birthdays, so we go ahead and move up Meredith's birthday.
Yeah, so Michael decides to plan a party for Meredith, but her birthday is a month out. But we all know that the party's not really for Meredith. It's another one of Michael's attempts to be loved and liked in the office. And in the very beginning of the episode, we get a funny Trump joke, which I was like,
why was it mentioned?
But I also love that he mentions, he's like, well, he just makes people sad by saying you're fired. And what Michael wants his catchphrase to be is, you're hired. He wants to be loved at any cost. And that's where, again, this whole idea of planning this party for Meredith comes up. And we find Michael not even considerate of what Meredith might like or want for her own birthday, all the way down to Michael demands ice cream cake when Meredith is lactose intolerant. So
kills me.
It's not inclusive thinking. But at the same time, this isn't a party that's for Meredith, and it's very clear that it's not, but it will be. So it creates a very strange dynamic. It creates this really kind of sad situation that builds up over Meredith's party. But in the meantime, while this is kind of getting planned, we see our first glimpses of the party planning committee, which is the group of women in the office who are collected to kind of decide what the parties are going to be. And we really get a taste of Angela for the first time.
Finally, yes.
Which we see tiny things about her where she thinks that pretty much every color is described as whorish. And she wouldn't even flip a coin because she feels that that's gambling. And so we're seeing like this extreme view from Angela, her grasp set, basically what Puritanism, I don't know what she's holding on to. But yet, you know, later on, we find out some other things about Angela, which kind of counteract that. But right here, we're seeing her being a very stiff, rigid person. And that's what's great about this, is that there are so many strong characters. I mean, we're in episode 4. We're building up the prankiness of Jim. We're building up the romance he has with Pam, but and also Pam's extreme introvert shyness when she's dealing with Michael.
That's a good point. That's something that I hadn't even please do explain, but I'm just, yeah, but I want to hear more about this because I'm just now realizing it as you're saying it.
So I love the wonderful introvert awkwardness of Pam, and we see that here. And I think a lot of times when you see an introvert on TV or as a character, they're not really introverted. They're not really shy and dry and awkward. But here we see Pam being all those things, so truly wonderful because of the mockumentary style. It gets to be highlighted perfectly. And the actress is doing so much acting in this small intro scene where she is sitting down in the chair in Michael's office and having almost no reaction, basically like frozen, like a deer in headlights, like doesn't really look like she wants to be on camera, doesn't want to be interacting with Michael, has no jokes to tell, like she's just frozen up. And I love that side of Pam, because then we see later on when she is comfortable and she's joking with Jim and you see their alliance blossom, it is just great because you know that that is in there. And just like a true introvert, when you're with the people that you're most comfortable with, that's when you let your personality out. So I love that dynamic of Pam. And that's what we're building up here. We're building the Dwight, we're building the Pam, we're building the Angela. We're seeing all these people really come to life.
Of course, it's going to take time. And I like that they make sure to grow these characters over time, and that we're not just sort of, we don't have to be confronted, I think, with the absolute version of the character that they eventually will become, because mm-hmm. That's not realistic. And one of the things, like, there are many bizarre parts of this show, but what I think they've done well is they've taken, I think, real human beings, and they've just sort of adjusted the dials a little bit up on certain things. And so they are in many ways caricatures of a normal human being. I think outside of Pam and Jim, everyone else sort of has a couple of their dials turned up. Like Angela's empathy is turned down by 4, but her sort of prudishness is turned up by 2. And mm-hmm. we find her to be a more complex character later on as well. So the one thing that breaks my heart a little bit about this is we see Phyllis become so much more of a dynamic and interesting character. And in this, she's so quiet and laid back and is just sort of throwing in lines every now and then. And mm-hmm. I love, like, Phyllis just warms my heart. And so to see her early on in this is sort of, it's like, oh no, just, you know, anyone who's paying attention to Phyllis, just wait, because she's great.
Yeah, keep an eye on that one. She's gonna turn.
She will blossom.
She will. All right. So I think we need to talk about a couple of the small things that happen while the big alliance is going on. And Jim and Pam are basically convincing Dwight to, it all culminates to him hiding in a box in the warehouse, which is the first time we get to see the warehouse. So we're down in the warehouse. We start to see some of the other people that are working down there. It's opening up the world a little bit more. And then, so the whole time that this is all going on, there's this other little thread of Oscar has a charity that he is going around the office getting donations for, and it's for a walkathon for his nephew's cerebral palsy charity. And so he goes around and you see Michael receive the donation card, and he's looking down the chart and he sees everyone else has made like $2-3, and Michael says, oh no, for charity, I'll put up more. So he puts up more money, and he puts $25 down. And I gotta say, like, I very much sympathize with Michael in this whole situation he finds himself in with Oscar, because Oscar didn't do a super great job,
right,
of explaining what he was handing Michael. And as we all know, not all of us read super well when it comes to, like, oh, you want to fill this out? Sure, I'll donate to your charity. I'll just, you know, do it. And he does. And we find out it's a per mile donation, not a one-time flat fee donation. So, like I said, I feel bad for Michael, because in that moment, he actually was being charitable.
Right.
Like, whether he was doing it for the camera, or he was doing it to want to contribute more money than everyone else in the office was, you know, it doesn't really matter. It's charity, right? It goes to all a good place.
Exactly. Let them be sort of competing. It's charity. This is good.
And that's kind of the whole point when you see a sign up sheet, right? You compete a little bit. Like, you know, the Girl Scout comes around and you're like, oh, how many cookies did my neighbor buy? Here, I'll buy you some extra ones. Not because I want more cookies, right?
No. Right. But, I don't really need all these cookies, but for the sake of the competition.
But I want to be the good neighbor, right? Who buys extra boxes of cookies. And then when Michael finds out about how much he actually donated, because I believe, how many miles did his nephew do the previous year?
Oh, my Lord.
18 or
yeah.
something?
Yeah. He says it's a big number.
Oh, it's big. And so Michael tries to take back the donation.
Oh,
which,
Michael.
Again, it's, I'm sorry, but, like, for me, seeing that as, like, a third party observer in this situation, if you misunderstood your own donation, I mean, and you had to adjust it in some way because of your personal income, because of what you can afford, because of what's comfortable for you. Like, that's the whole point of charity, right? You give what you can.
Yes, that's true.
And if he ended up in a bad situation because he misinterpreted what the terms were, it kind of stinks on the way Oscar made him feel really guilty about that.
Yeah.
And so that's the way I kind of see that. And before, it's supposed to kind of come off as a joke of Michael being cheap, but it kind of comes off bad on Oscar for not being sympathetic to where Michael might be coming from if he misinterpreted his donation.
Yeah, right? For shaming him for needing. I mean, because this isn't just obviously very clearly it's not him being cheap because later we hear him say, like, don't cash that until whenever. And so it's literally a matter. I mean, what do you want? Do you want someone to be able to donate money and you're able to use it for whatever purpose? Or do you want someone to donate money and then the check bounces and then you don't have it? Like, it absolutely, I agree with you there. Because of the way that Michael acts, they might overestimate sort of his income and his financial security. And so they're thinking, oh, well, he's just being cheap, when really, no, that's not the case. Like, that is a very difficult thing for him.
And we see in true Michael fashion that there is a moment towards the end of the episode where he decides to flaunt how much he's donated, kind of as a I see this more of like less of a personality flaw in Michael, in that, like, oh, I just want to brag how much I donated, but more of a cover up of his own insecurities about what just happened with himself financially. He was just like, oh, I'll look at how much money I donated. You know, he's thinking about it. He's internalizing it. He's having a problem with how much he gave. So he's trying to, like, turn it around in a positive way for himself. But really, it comes off as super tacky that he's bragging to the office. And then, like you mentioned, he ends up writing this check that he tells Oscar, like, wait till Friday, like, wait until my paycheck clears to cash this so you actually get the money, because my budget is tighter than it appears. And we see this moment where I think this might be the first time we are seeing a very human, vulnerable side of Michael, where he's not just being the jokey clown desperate for likes in the office. He is more of a real person with burdens and troubles at home, like financial or whatever, that make him, like, you kind of see where his extreme reactions come from.
Mm-hmm. Well, and to that scene, again, there's the party going on, and the sort of underlying story that goes along with it is this card, this birthday card that they got for Meredith, and they're all writing things, and Michael is trying to come up with something fantastic to write on the card, and he wants to beat everybody else out, and some, you know, a couple other people did a really good job, a couple other people did the sort of high school yearbook write-ins that are just boring, but he agonizes over a joke, calls in Dwight for help, calls in other people for help, finally comes up with whatever it is. Meredith reads it out loud, and it's not funny.
Yeah, he almost sets her up for, like, a roast situation. You know,
yeah,
like, that's
exactly
how Michael's thinking of it. He's like, I'm going to roast Meredith on her birthday.
Because that's funny.
And no one's prepared for it because no one else is thinking of it or seeing it as a roast. And it bombs.
It bombs. And whenever it bombs, Michael realizes in that moment, holy cow, I'm the bad guy. Mm-hmm. And that is whenever he chooses to reveal his donation. And so I really feel like it was sort of a double attack there, where he's like, no, I'm a good person. Here's this donation I made. I may have made a bad joke that hurt Meredith's feelings, but at least I gave this donation. And it's like, you were just complaining about giving that donation. And so it all sort of came off the wrong way, and nobody is impressed. And he had just encouraged that Meredith commit suicide because she can't eat ice cream, which was just like, oh my goodness, Michael, please just be quiet.
Oh, yeah. His just insinuations with her and making her feel bad for, like, oh, wow, this ice cream's so delicious. I would hate to be lactose intolerant. That would be the worst. And like, it just was not a good party for Meredith. I mean, even the surprise, she was very confused and not very surprised because it was nowhere near her birthday.
It's not her birthday.
So it all went out very, very wrong. And I think at even one point, I think it might have been Michael who was like, this isn't my fault. You know, he right away, he doesn't want the blame because he wants to be liked and admired. And it just, it was a terrible decision. It was a big disaster. It was just not a good day for Meredith in particular, or Michael's bank account.
Meredith had a very bad day. And I think, well, they, frankly, they all, this episode has a lot of bad days for a lot of people. I love the way that Pam really takes this alliance and runs with it. She comes up with some of the best jokes and pranks to play on Dwight. Mm-hmm. All this stuff that she's doing where she's convincing him of this, I love that. I love seeing her sort of devious side and watching her having fun. And Jim does too. So mm-hmm. Jim decides to, you know, he's getting excited and she's getting excited as they're recounting sort of all the different parts of their alliance and how it played out.
Yeah, well, he even said that, like, she's so great. Like, it was all her idea about a lot of the parts of the pranks with her and Dwight, and convincing pretty much Dwight that everyone is against them. And yeah, so they're having like this moment at the end where they're getting really close and they're joking about how funny the day was and how everyone's reaction. And Pam is relaying the story of Dwight being in the box and falling over in the warehouse. And so they're just having this wonderful moment together at Pam's desk.
Yes. So again, he's got, cause I had never really paid attention to what contact exactly was going on, but I did this time cause I knew it was about to happen. And so they are holding hands. He's got one of his hands in her hand and they're sort of like, he's sort of, as he's talking, sort of shaking her hand, like, this is so exciting kind of thing. Ha ha ha. We're laughing. And then he has his other hand around her back. If you can imagine walking into this and seeing this, I think that Roy, because he walks in and sees them doing this and asks Halpert, are you trying to cop a feel? I will never understand the weird, gross, super masculine territorial BS, but I get from the, you know, from what was going on, what he saw, the way that he assumed that things were going, if that makes sense. Like, I see how mm-hmm. that could come off, how it did.
Well, Roy Rock walks in on their intimacy as friends, right? Like, mm-hmm. and it was probably extremely startling. And Roy is a person that tends to err on the side of aggression more than reasonable talking. So his reaction is he almost goes to slug Jim and makes Pam leave immediately, which I find to be the most disgusting, upsetting part of it. Yeah. Yeah. It's just, I hate that part of their relationship.
And we see that from the beginning. We've seen that already, I think, in the pilot episode, the way that he, because she asks him for permission to go out for drinks with the guys. And I'm just, we talked about it already, but it just, mm-hmm. Like, so gross. If you want to make me hate a character as quickly as possible, then do that horrible commanding BS, which is exactly what they did. And yeah, I do not like Roy at all. And I mean, you're not supposed to like Roy. So
yeah, where they're very much setting us up for like how bad Pam and Roy's relationship is, versus the friendship and the closeness that she has with Jim. So, but one of the very funny things, so that's kind of how it essentially ends, with this, Jim is feeling super awkward, Pam is rushed away, and, you know, we don't really see much of what happens after that, but, you know, Roy is fuming mad. And we do find out at one moment, we get to see Ryan, the temp, for a few minutes, talking to Toby a little bit earlier in the episode. And it turns out it actually is Ryan's birthday. it wasn't Meredith's birthday, but because he wasn't on like the company roster of like the birthdays that are out, we find out it was actually Ryan's birthday. And Toby's like, oh, you want me to tell them? And Ryan's just like, no, please don't tell them. So I think that's little tiny things like that make this show so delightful, that they just sprinkle that tiny fact in when Ryan and Toby are kind of in the middle of the conversation and it's obscurely revealed that it's Ryan's birthday. And yes. So all of the awkwardness that happened with Meredith's didn't have to happen. And that's sometimes like the biggest like comedy payoff right there, in that the error, the mishaps, the misconnections, like that's what's so good.
And the other thing that we didn't touch on that I think is important is the double cross. We, you know, up to this point, we had Jim playing Dwight dirty, I guess, by being secretly in a partnership with Pam for this alliance. And at the very, at the part of the episode, like we were just talking about, where Roy comes in, mm-hmm. Jim is trying to explain why he's doing what he's doing and why they were getting all excited and whatever. And to Roy, and he's talking about this alliance, and Dwight hiding in an office plant nearby. Roy asks him, what is Halpert talking about? And Dwight's like, I have no idea what he's talking about.
Yep.
And so in that moment, like those of us who have a certain love for Dwight, that was, I think, a very rewarding moment where Dwight kind of got to get back at Jim for this failed alliance that existed.
In a much more serious way, you know, like I feel like Dwight's payback has a lot more consequences
than
all of the pranks that Jim and Pam were pulling on Dwight. So that's where, again, it's the imbalance a little bit that happens, where you get the, ooh, because this feels so real, just like right next to the inconsequential, total surfacey jokes that are happening.
Yeah. Well, and Dwight is not approaching this as if he's getting back at Jim for these pranks, because at no point is it revealed to Dwight that they were pranking him the whole time. So this is still Dwight existing in his fantasy where there are these alliances, and now Dwight has to break his alliance with Jim because Jim has revealed the alliance. So that extra layer of humor is just hilarious to me, because this is not him getting back at Jim and sort of being smug about the fact that he's getting Jim in trouble. No, he's like, well, Jim's broken the alliance, so I guess it's time to double cross him.
That's right. Pull the ripcord, protect the alliance at all costs, right?
Yes.
All right. Should we give out our Dundee for this week?
We absolutely should. It is time, finally.
While we give out this Dundee for this week, I do want to mention this is the first time that the Dundees actually come up in the show. So there is just a one line kind of off comment about Dundees.
Interesting.
Yep. So it's a big day.
Well, it's a big day, and it's a big day for today's Dundee. This is the Dundee for the person least likely to be hired by Hallmark. And that Dundee goes to Michael, because he does not know how to write a nice message in a card.
Oh, no, he would not be hired. It is painful.
Congratulations, Michael.
Even his backups were bad.
Yes, which
he read out.
They were worse almost.
They were. Well, everyone, thank you so much for listening. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at @tall_beats. And we will see you next week. Back in the office.
See you then. Bye.
Bye, everybody.